Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Yes, indeed. Any moment now, we'll go over to Mike Tomlin. Adam Schefter saying yesterday on SportsCenter that he believed this was the week Russell Wilson would be healthy. That, to me, is what I'm looking forward to the most here today. Is it just status quo or something new with Russell? And then Tomlin himself, I think, coming off a very, very tough game in which Shane Steichen, again, lit up his defense last three games against Tomlin. Steichen once as offensive coordinator in Philly, twice as head coach in Indy where he calls the plays. Three games, 92 points, 1,131 yards. Tomlin keeping the late timeout in his hip pocket. Tomlin challenging a play that everybody knew was a catch. Tomlin not challenging Najee Harris on the first down run right before
that. And here's
that.
Tomlin.
Here he is.
Good afternoon. Really exciting week here as we lean in on a big home game. Prime time against the Dallas Cowboys. A lot to be excited about, but before I get into that, I'll always start with a quick assessment of our last performance and some injury information to kind of get us started. When I looked at the game, my feelings are very similar to what they were post-game. First of all, it could be described as a tough loss. I always kind of laugh at that because all losses are tough from my perspective, but I think that phrase means that we had our opportunities to win. And if it does, then certainly that is the case. A lot transpired in that game in terms of the reasons why we lost. But in spite of those things, in looking at the tape, man, I just see a lot of opportunities there that we could have done things differently and won the game. The turnover game is a major component of any game. I thought it was significant, obviously, in terms of the outcome of that game. We lost by 3 points. We turned the ball over inside the 10. We had a sack fumble that pushed us out of field goal range. We dropped the interception in the end zone on defense. We had a ball on the ground in the red zone in defense that we didn't cover. And a few plays later, they punched it in for 7. And so just the point differential alone in the turnover game was really significant in terms of how the game unfolded. I also thought the penalty component of play was significant. In the very first drive of the game, we were in field goal range. We got a penalty on a couple offensive linemen that pushed us out of field goal range. For example, we had a second down and 10 that was going to go to third down and 10, but there was a penalty on Minka later in the game that extended that drive. You like to feel good about getting off on third and 10 in that scenario. And so, you know, some things that culturally we value that we work on continually were major components in the game in a negative way. It doesn't mean that we're going to change what we do regarding those subject matters. All it means is that we're going to do them more intensely this week. Their values for a reason, because we realize they're significant components of every game. We've talked about it, those things a lot in this scenario. The reason why we went into that game 3-0 is because we were plus 4 or plus 5 in the turnover game. We've had some instances in the past, in the recent past, with penalties. We've done what's appropriate in terms of getting officials at practice in a more extended way, for example. And so, you know, I don't know that the result of the game changes our attitude regarding the subject matter, but it certainly intensifies as we prepare for this next outing. But aside from that low-hanging fruit, I thought there were some other things that really shaped the game, if you will. I didn't like the slow start on defense. We put the defense on the field for a reason, to set a tone, to quell the environment. Oftentimes it's difficult for offensive units to function at the early stages of a game in a hostile environment and things of that nature. That's why you put the defense on the grass. We didn't get the job done from that perspective. If anything, we just intensified the environmental component of the matchup. And so we got to do a better job there. We can't warm up to the action. It really hadn't been us, but it was us defensively last weekend. And so I'm excited about getting that group out and in the stadium again. That's a responsibility that I expect them to embrace, man. We got a lot of veteran players. And whether they're new to us or not, we got a lot of veteran players on that unit that understand the importance of that. And so looking forward to giving them another opportunity to manage that component of it. I did love the way they finished the game. In terms of getting that necessary stop in an emphatic way, I think Indy punted on 4th and 15 there at the end of the game when we still had an opportunity to win. And on the offensive side of the ball, we were down multiple scores in the fourth quarter, man, but I didn't feel any blink. In particular, I didn't feel any blink in Justin. You know, we've talked about his steady demeanor in recent weeks in terms of the things that I've grown to know and understand about him. I think it's really on display in moments like that. As I mentioned in here several times in the last several weeks, you really get an opportunity to develop a relationship in the midst of adversity and competition. And I'm not, you know, trying to microwave our relationship, if you will. And so, you know, being in circumstances, man, it's an opportunity for him to get to know me, me to get to know him, and to fight and fight together. But not only for him, but a lot of new guys. We got a lot of new and young guys playing in the offensive line, obviously due to injury circumstance. Man, I just really like the look in their eye and the feel within the collective as we faced the adversity that we faced trying to work our way back into that football game. And so there's a lot of lessons to be learned, but we better apply them very quickly, man, because as I mentioned, we got a big game coming up this week. From an injury perspective, I'll talk a couple of things. I think it's prudent to assume that Alex Highsmith will be out this week. James Daniels, certainly, with his Achilles injury. We got some other guys who are working potentially their way back to us, and we'll let participation and the quality of that participation be our guide in terms of their inclusion. Jaylen Warren, Pruitt, Patterson. Nick Herbig had an ankle injury. He was able to finish the game. It might limit him at the early portions of the week, but I don't know that his availability will be in question. Same with Benton. It might be limited at the beginning of the week, but certainly not in question. I'm excited about the potential of having Isaac back in the offensive line, especially given some of the attrition that's happened there in recent weeks. He was close last week. I think it's reasonable to assume that he's got a real shot to make it this time around. Just met with our training staff and Russ and plotted out a course for his work today. He'll have another strong work day today. We'll see how he feels in the morning, and we'll let that be our guide in terms of his participation. But it seems like he's in a place where his participation is going to pick up some in terms of a practice setting, a live pocket, if you will. We won't draw too many conclusions, but we'll just start that process. And we'll comb through that day by day, evaluate his ability to move and function and protect himself, and obviously evaluate his level of productivity. And we'll let that be our guide in terms of whether we get into serious consideration as we push forward toward game time this week. So in a lot of ways, I'm taking the same posture that I've taken in recent weeks, but I'm acknowledging that he's doing more work today than he did last Tuesday. It's probably going to produce the potential of more work tomorrow, and then we'll have some conversations as we proceed through the week based on the result of those things. From a Dallas Cowboy perspective, starting first and foremost with their offense, man, I just got a lot of respect for Dak Prescott. I hadn't seen a lot of him, funny enough, since he's been in the league. I think we've only played against him in particular one time in 2016. But I see a guy who is ultra competitive, has unbelievable arm talent, natural leadership skills. You feel the guys rallying around him in terms of the tape study, the way they battled back in the Baltimore game is an example of that. He's got a real steady demeanor, man. He utilizes his quarterback mobility in a very prudent way. He extends plays. He'll run if given the opportunity. They got some schematics that highlight that. He's got a real rapport, obviously, with his eligibles. His work with C.D. Lamb is really impressive. They move C.D. around. You got to defend him on the perimeter. You also got to defend him inside. Really has gained an appreciation for the development of Ferguson at tight end. I remember watching him up close in Mobile a couple years ago when he came out and was really impressed with his skill set. Had a chance to talk to his grandfather while I was watching practice, the great Barry Alvarez, and so I enjoyed that. But, man, his play is impressive, and how he's evolved as a player is really impressive. And Dak's utilization of him within their offense is impressive. But they've got a lot of eligibles to manage, man. You focus or get hyper-focused on those two much, a guy like Brandon Cooks can ruin your day. And so we better play a total game in terms of minimizing those guys. On the defensive side of the ball, man, they're going through some changes, obviously, with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt in D.C. And the things that they were able to do over there in recent years, particularly in some of their sub-packet stuff, was really challenging. But Mike Zimmer is no novice. He's been around. We've competed against him over the years. Man, got a lot of respect for his approach to ball, his aggressive schematic demeanor. He's one of the godfathers of double-A pressure, if you will, in one-dimensional passing moments. I've seen it in Cincinnati. I've seen it in Minnesota. Man, I've seen it a lot of places over the years. Man, I'd imagine he's gonna pack it and bring it to Pittsburgh this weekend. You know, we better prepare ourselves for multiple blitz looks and so forth. I'd imagine that he's going to have all the schematic tools at his disposal in terms of creating pressure on the quarterback, particularly maybe with his edge guys out. You do what you got to do from a coach's perspective. I use the phrase all the time, if you got red paint your barn red. And so, you know, with those dynamic edge people like Lawrence and maybe even Parsons out, we better get ready for a lot of schematic pressure from him. But we better also prepare for the likes of Parsons, man. You know, a guy like him, he's not the normal in any circumstances. And so, you know, we better be prepared if he shows up in stadium to work to minimize him and how they move him around and his unique talents, particularly in one-dimensional passing moments. There's a lot to be excited about. As I mentioned, man, this is a big football game. It's the next one. It's in our venue. It's prime time. And so those things have our attention, but we pay our respect to exciting and attention with how we work and how we prepare. And I'm excited about doing that with the guys as they come into the building tomorrow. I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Mike, in your overall evaluation of Justin, I don't know if there were any questions you needed answered, but the way he responded, answering touchdowns with touchdowns in the second half, did you learn anything more about him that you were seeking?
As I've mentioned again, I've speculated about some things I've seen from him. And there's some components of his football and competitive personality that are really likable, and I talked about him last week. But I just think when you're in those moments and you get an opportunity to show who you are in those moments, they're less speculation. And so some things that I was speculating about somewhat last week about his steady demeanor, about his competes and so forth, just got solidified and verified with the challenges that we faced last week.
You said that you're in somewhat of a similar position with Russell Wilson and his schedule of work this week. Does that mean that as you stand here today, you're preparing for Justin to start on Sunday?
Yes, I am.
Does Justin's performance in any way allow you to be more calculated or cautious about when or how you bring Russ back from injury?
It potentially could, but it has not to this point, man. The guiding factor for us in this point is the amount of ball that we have in front of us, how early we're in this process. That's probably been one of the significant variables in terms of our approach to his rehabilitation.
The injured nature of the offensive line, is that a variable too, given Justin's escapability?
It depends on what the work week looks like. It depends on what we're forecasting in terms of pressure from Dallas. Those are variables that could weigh into that, but I'd be speculating to comment on it at this early stage of planning and development in the week.
Mike, you've always remarked in the past about how fortunate you were. You didn't have injuries on the offensive line, and now you have three who are done for the year. How do you handle that going forward?
You know, you handle that with quality depth, and thankfully that's something that we have. We've invested a lot the last several off seasons in terms of acquiring young, talented people. They're capable, and they're going to get an opportunity to show that. Guys like Spence and Mason McCormick have done a real nice job, and we expect that to continue.
Mike, you had Justin and the centers had several instances of the CQ issue. How do you rep that and make sure that that isn't something that keeps continuing?
You know, I don't know that we change our approach to it because it's a fundamental thing for us. It has our attention. It has had our attention. And hopefully our continued work in that area will make those issues subside. That's my mentality about it as I stand here today.
Has it been the same issue every time, or is it a variety of things?
No, it's a myriad of things. And really, it's about the beginnings of a relationship at times, and particularly in hostile environments where communication is strained, where there's a third-party component to the communication, a guard tap, if you will. Some of those guards have been different people, to be quite honest with you. And so it's been a myriad of things, and so largely we're not going to change our approach to developing our fundamentals in that area. We're just going to stick with it, and it's reasonable to expect those issues to subside.
Mike, what are you working on to improve execution, especially early in games?
We're just going to keep practicing, man. You know, I imagine we're not the only ones who have issues with that, particularly if three out of your first four games have been in hostile environments. And so we're not going to change our approach. Sometimes I acknowledge an issue, but acknowledgement of an issue doesn't mean that we need to be a moving target in terms of how we address it. Sometimes it's just more of the same and maybe more urgency associated with the same in terms of our work.
Mike, what would you assign the urgency to maybe cover in the middle part of the field or communication in the middle part of the field? And you guys played really good defense through four games, but that wasn't part of what the Colts did for you guys last week.
I'm sorry, what's your question again?
How do you assess the urgency of covering the middle part of the field after the Colts game?
To be honest with you, they hit some plays in the middle portions of the field, but I didn't think that defined the outcome of the game. Offenses are going to get hit plays and get yards and maybe even score points. But I don't know that it's registering enough for me right now to address it as a matter, to be quite honest with you.
Like you mentioned, penalties being an issue for you, and some of your players make some comments about not liking the calls. What is your message to them, either in-game or in general, when there may be some frustration about the way you're being officiated?
You know, you're going to get wrong from time to time, just like the opponent's going to make a play from time to time. It's how we respond to it. We still had a lot of opportunity to win that game. After that call in particular, I didn't like that call. I talked to New York yesterday. They didn't like that call as well, but it doesn't help me on a Monday. And so on Sundays, we better be mentally tough, and we better move on to the next snap and just understand at times that's a component of the game. The officials aren't perfect. None of us are. We make mistakes in game that we have to overcome, and if they make a mistake in game, we better be prepared to overcome that as well. That's what you learn as an individual and a collective when instances such as that occur.
Mike, why is running the ball early in the game such a problem for you guys?
You know, I don't know that I view it that way. As I've mentioned, three out of our four games have been in hostile venues, and the communication component and the energy associated with that oftentimes makes the run game a game of attrition, meaning that you win that war as the game proceeds. And so I don't get overly concerned, to be quite honest with you, about starts, particularly from a small sample size at this early stage. I acknowledge we got to be better defensively than we were last week, for example. I acknowledge the other week, offensively, for example. And so we'll just keep working. It's not going to dictate a behavioral change from us as a collective in terms of how we prepare. It's reasonable to expect us to get better with more exposure and opportunity in that area.
Does having so many moving parts along the line sort of complicate that progression?
You think? Great question. You answered it.
Darryl had success before he got hurt running the ball. Was there something that he was doing differently or that was working in the run game when he got in there?
He was playing extremely well. But we're not surprised by that. You know, he's a dynamic guy. We're excited about continually including him in what we do.
What was your assessment of McCormick in his first start and then also Anderson moving to the
– double thumbs up on both guys. But again, I'm not surprised by it. Both guys have shown maturity beyond their years in this developmental process and play to boot. And thankfully, I expect that to continue.
Mike, when you're making a decision about whether to kick a field goal, where do you feel comfortably within Boswell's range that it's automatically we're going to kick it? At what point do you start factoring in some other game circumstances into that decision?
You know, there's always other game circumstances in that decision. Boz's leg alone is never the singular component of the discussion. Boz has got a lot of leg, man. Anything under 60, I feel good about if you're just talking about him. The myriad of game circumstances, you know, that's moving variables that change in every instance.
So it's about the field position component. You want to depend them deep when passing on that field goal early in the game?
Yes.
Have you seen his leg strength grow dramatically over the time he's been here? And he didn't attempt as many long field goals earlier in his career. Is that just a trust?
I don't know if it was leg strength was ever in question. He's just highly accurate to boot. And that's probably the guiding factor in terms of our long ball aggression more recently. But I never viewed him as a guy that was deficient in terms of leg strength.
Mike, you talked about turnovers earlier. I think you guys have dropped four interceptions so far this year. How do you coach through that? I mean, that seems like such a simple part of the game where it's like, hey, you just got to make the play that's in front of you.
It's fundamental. You work it every day. You work it in practice. You work it pre-practice. You work it post-practice. It's just a component of play.
Mike, last year you had an injured starting quarterback. He got healthy. When he was cleared to play, you stuck with the guy that you had the hot hand. You called Mason. Is Justin getting to a point where his play is such that Russ's health is sort of immaterial? You're just staying with the guy where the team's producing with?
There's a potential for that, but we're not there as I stand here today.
Is there anything Justin can do to prove it right now while Russ is injured?
Play well. Win. That's our business.
When you're looking at your receivers, obviously Pickens has been your most productive by far, but looking at the other guys, Van and Calvin, what are you seeing from those guys, and what more do they need to do so that Justin can have more targets to spread the ball around?
You know, I'm not discouraged by how we're distributing the ball at all. All the guys have had their moments. A couple weeks ago, Calvin had a big day. You know, Muth has been a major contributor just about in every game. And so I'm not overly concerned with how we're distributing the ball or view it as an issue at this juncture.
Mike, how do you view Justin in 2 weeks? Each time he's committed a turnover, he's responded to with multiple scoring drives, with a field goal, and a touchdown after the interception against the Broncos, and then three touchdowns against after the fumble this Sunday.
You know, that's what I expect competitors to do, and that's what I was talking about the other week when I sensed the competitor's trait in him. Not surprised by that. Expect that to continue. Certainly want to minimize the negativity, but it's just a component of competing at this level. How you respond to adversity defines you individually and collectively.
I know you said he didn't blink. Obviously, it took his first loss this weekend, but what did you learn about Justin this weekend that you might not have known before?
I think I've expressed it in a variety of ways. I'd be making it up if I just continued to answer rephrase questions, you know. It's just more confirmation of what has been somewhat speculative.
We like New York's reaction to call when you were on the field. Did they think it was late, or did they think it was helmet to helmet on that?
I'm not going to speak on them. I'd imagine they addressed the media post game, and they're given a forum to talk about what was communicated and so forth. I simply called New York for clarity from a supervisory perspective, and they thought it was a clean hit.
I give a number of players that are eligible to come off the IR and Cole from the PUP this week. Is there a chance that you can get anybody back to practice?
I hadn't had those meetings yet, but probably. And so there's a level of excitement there. We'll see what their participation looks like and the quality of that participation and harden that up as we get closer to game time.
What do you appreciate about the history between the Cowboys and Steelers and the fact that people still want to see this matchup in primetime?
You know, the strength of the brand, of the brands, is something that is to be respected. You know, but I respect that every day, man, when I get out of that car in this parking lot. It's a responsibility to represent the black and gold, and I'd imagine the guys in Dallas feel the same way. You can't put a price tag on standards and legacy, and both organizations have that. We walk on the ground that's been paved for us by those that have come before us, and so we feel really blessed and honored to do so, and I'm sure that that will be reflected in the way that both teams play this weekend.
Mike, if Sam Mullo comes back, are you going to take the two guys at right guard?
I think that'll be determined with the quality of play in terms of how we distribute reps during the course of the week. I'm open to it. I'm also open to playing one guy exclusively if they distinguish themselves.
Possibly getting Cole Holcomb possibly back eventually. How do you evaluate your linebacker play so far, both with Patrick Queen, Peyton Wilson getting a lot of snaps, especially last week?
I think it's been solid. I like the division of labor in particular as we infuse new guys in, figuring out what their skill set is, how they communicate, what they do well. In specific to the two guys that you mentioned. But I'm comfortable with the way things are trending from that positional group. But obviously, a guy like Cole Holcomb, man, you get him back in the mix, that's not going to do anything but help us.
Mike, is Jalen Warren's knee injury connected to the earlier hamstring issue he had, or is it separate?
Separate.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike.
Well, 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 that was mighty interesting, wasn't it? And it sounds to me like Adam Schefter was onto something yesterday when he said this is the week that Russell Wilson's healthy and Mike Tomlin will have a decision on his hands. Tomlin still sort of went back and forth there, but what we have, it sounds like Wonder Twin is a live pocket for Russell this week. We could have a live pocket, and yet we still have Tomlin operating as if Fields is the starter to begin the week. And then the question to the effect of, is Fields playing well enough to make Russell's health, quote, immaterial? Did that come from the Gravesdigger, Will Graves?
Here it is.
Last year you had an injured starting quarterback. He got healthy. When he was cleared to play, you stuck with the guy that you had the hot hand. You called him his Justin getting to a point where his play is such that Russ's health is sort of immaterial. You're just staying with the guy where the team's producing with.
There's a potential for that, but we're not there as I stand here today.
Ooh, that's new. To me, that's new. That's the first time, I think, in at least those clear of terms where Tomlin has said, I would bench or keep benched a healthy Russell Wilson. Am I right about that, Limits?
Yeah, that's the first indication that Tomlin has given. Like the first, without saying it,
I mean,
that's him saying it.
He has said, we'll evaluate that when we get to it, which certainly leaves the door open, right? That has left the door open. I think he's progressively gone from pole position to Russell still in pole position. I told you guys before the season to, when we get there, I'll reevaluate. And I thought a couple of weeks ago that opened a new door to now, is Fields playing well enough to make Russell's health immaterial? There's potential for that. He is now saying that there's potential for a healthy Russell Wilson to keep riding the bench. He's gone incrementally further almost every week. And now, my friends, now we have a true quarterback controversy. And why don't we celebrate that, Limits? You have all kinds of people in their cars now and hopefully watching on YouTube saying typical media trying to stir up the stuff, trying to stir the pot. No, I'm looking at reality at this point, and it's really not necessarily a negative story. but it's an obvious story. It sounds like Russell Wilson is pretty much ready to go. If you can get that quote about how Tomlin was meeting with the doctor today about Russell, that would be great. The Mike Tomlin presser reaction brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you now, there will be soon. And brought to you by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, 4.75% on a 7-month CD with just $1,000 new money. Full details at AllegiantFCU.org. So, yeah, this is when the whole thing turned a little bit, was when Tomlin, in his opening address, went over the injuries. And after going through everybody from starters to reserves way down on the depth chart, he got to the guy that we're all curious about.
I'm around. Just met with our training staff and Russ and plotted out a course for his work today. He'll have another strong work day today. We'll see how he feels in the morning, and we'll let that be our guide in terms of his participation. But it seems like he's in a place where his participation is going to pick up some in terms of a practice setting, a live pocket, if you will. We won't draw too many conclusions, but we'll just start that process, and we'll comb through that day by day, evaluate his ability to move and function and protect himself, and obviously evaluate his level of productivity. And we'll let that be our guide in terms of whether we get into serious consideration as we push forward toward game time.
There's no chance. There's no chance if he's operating as if Justin Fields is the starter, like Friday, he's suddenly going to name Wilson because his pro. First of all, how much live rep activity is he going to get? Justin Fields is playing in this game. And then, especially if Russ, like you could still say, okay, Russ needed to get back, have a good week of practice before I would ever be comfortable starting him. Then next week would be the biggest week of all. But we have a change. We have a change with the possibility of Russell Wilson operating from a live pocket and Mike Tomlin acknowledging in so many words that there is potential, and I quote there, that he would keep a healthy Russell Wilson on the bench as we move forward here. And maybe it's obvious, like maybe we've gone from quarterback controversy to it's so obvious that Fields is the guy moving forward that there isn't a controversy. You know what I mean?
I mean, it doesn't feel like any reason to put Russell Wilson in at this point.
Does anybody out there want to make a case for Russell Wilson to start this week? You can't really say next week, because what if Fields is horrible against the Cowboys? Then we'll have quite the story.
Yeah, then.
But assuming this keeps going as it is, just a case for a healthy Russell Wilson. What if he is cleared by tomorrow for full participation out of a, quote, live pocket? 412-928-9370, 928-9370. And the accompanying question there is, are you willing now to embrace Justin Fields as your starting quarterback? Has he done enough where it's like, absolutely, let's go with Justin Fields here? Immaterial, to borrow a Will Graves quote, of whether Russell Wilson is healthy or not. That's where I am. And you're looking at one of the charter members of the Russell Wilson fan club. Let's ride with Russ. Wrote it, said it, like Russell Wilson a lot. Felt even after 2 weeks that he should still get his chance. Let's see what Russell's got. Curiosity. Good season last year, I thought. Watched him beat 5 playoff teams in a row and throw 0 picks during that time. He can take care of the ball, too. 20 touchdowns, 1 interception in the red zone last year. I want to see him, or I wanted to see him. Then Justin Fields took a giant leap forward against the Chargers. They said to Justin, here, throw it around. This is your game. They threw more than they passed that day, and he won. He won the game for them. Then this week, the next frontier was, well, how's it going to be in case the Steelers, are we ever going to find out if they fall way behind, if this guy has the wherewithal to move them up and down the field in a hurry? He does. He just did it. They didn't win the game, made some big mistakes, but that's exactly what he did. If your question was, can he do that? The answer is yes. He can lead an offense that scores and moves in a hurry. I think it's obvious at this point, no matter what, that Fields is your guy moving ahead. 412-928-9370. You tell me. It's 12:34, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And I might add, city limits. Cordarrelle Patterson, I know they'll let his participation be their guide, but it sounds like he's a pretty good bet to go. Is that what it sounded like?
The injuries that I wrote down were Patterson, with participation once again being the guide. Same with Warren, Pruitt.
So with if Patterson's ready, do you give him more carries than Harris, than Najee?
I'd probably go 50-50. But I mean, participation be your guide. Will Warren be back and ready to go? Probably hold him out another game because he's not right.
Right. Exactly.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Mike Tomlin acknowledging that there is, quote, potential for him to play Justin Fields over a healthy Russell Wilson. Says it looks like Wilson's participation will ramp up here. Wouldn't go so far as to say he's 100% cleared, ready to go, but talked about a live pocket for Wilson this week, things like that, but said operating as if Fields will be the guy. Fields will be the guy. That seems clear this week. But for the first time, Tomlin acknowledged that he would keep a healthy Russell Wilson on the bench. That's what I heard. That's what Limits heard. That's what happened. 412-928-9370. So what do you make of this? There was a lot more in that news conference today, including Cordarrelle Patterson and Najee, although not so much Najee. I think a good question would have been, did Najee not hit the hole fast enough there? Because the other guy who was getting the ball seemed to hit it pretty fast. Like, could you envision them splitting carries? And the other thing at the beginning was Tomlin listing all the reasons they lost, and I was sorry not to hear, I didn't give us the best chance to win from him. I thought he was a big reason the Steelers got off to a great start at 3-0. I thought he was the biggest reason they lost the other day. There were many. There's always a lot of reasons for a loss. But Mike Tomlin was at the very top of that list. I can't think of too many games from his tenure where you could just tangibly pick it apart and identify him as the main culprit. There have been worse losses, don't get me wrong. Some of the upset losses, of course. But this one, I mean, where do you want to start? Shane Steichen just crushes Tomlin defenses, destroys them. In his last three games against Tomlin defenses, and Steichen obviously called the plays as the Eagles offensive coordinator, and he calls them in Indy. So one game with the Eagles and two with the Colts. These are all in the last 3 years. Steichen's offense in three games has rolled up 92 points and 1,131 yards on Tomlin's defenses. So you can start schematically with Tomlin's defense, which he runs. Then you go to keeping a timeout in your hip pocket when the Steelers were completely discombobulated at 4th and 11 with 37 seconds left. His final timeout. He explained after the game that pace sometimes helps an offense against a defense. Doesn't that imply that you have a defense on the run a little bit? They didn't have the Colts defense on the run. They were 4th and 11. They didn't get there by using pace to sort of run the Colts defense off the field there. They were 4th and 11, completely discombobulated, needed a timeout, kept it in his hip pocket. He threw a challenge flag on the first play of the second quarter when every single human being watching that game knew that Josh Downs made the catch. Just a waste of a challenge. He didn't throw a challenge when Najee, on the series before that, looked to have dived over the first down line on 3rd and 2. I watched it again this morning. So him not using a challenge there because the next play Fields got stopped was very costly in that game. It sure looked to me, and I know spot fouls are tough. Tomlin's never been shy about challenging those before. Why not challenge that one? He had the first down, I think. And on the very next play, on 4th and inches, and they showed a great angle on that from low down on the field, it was about 6 to 10 inches to get that first down. If you're going to waste a timeout, use one there after Arthur Smith turns that 4th and inches essentially into a 4th and 5 by putting Fields in the shotgun. You have a 6'3", 230-pound quarterback who's an unbelievable athlete behind a center who is moving people off the line. Why in the world would you not just quarterback sneak that? Even with Najee could come in and push from behind the old tush push. What are we doing? Tomlin did not veto that call. Then there was a wasted timeout later in the game that people might have missed. I had to go back and verify this one. He inexplicably wasted a timeout with 6:06 left in regulation after the Steelers stopped the Colts on a 3rd down play to make it 4th and 5 and right before Matt Gay's 35-yard field goal. Why would you use a timeout there? For what purpose? The other team is about to attempt a chip shot field goal. They're not going to go for it. There's not going to be a fake or anything like that. Why would you use a timeout there? If the question was we weren't getting our personnel on the field, and forget it. Just let him kick. Save the timeout. You needed that timeout. Nobody talked about that, and then we have talked about not letting Boswell attempt a 58 or 59-yard field goal, depending on the spot of the ball, after the Steelers' first series, even though he's banged field goals of 57, 56, 53, and 50, even though he's the most accurate long-range kicker in NFL history, beyond 50 yards, even though all the aforementioned field goals would have been easily good from 60, and I know he missed a 62-yarder outside here, I think there's a 75% chance he makes a 58-yard field goal. And Tomlin explained today that, well, it was field position. All right, so you put the Colts at their 14, and then they drive the ball down your throats again. It's 3 points on the board. I don't get it. All of that added up to a coach. That's what you call a coach losing an NFL game. Just a horrendous performance from Tomlin, and I guess I would like to have heard that. He must not feel that way. when he's listing reasons why we lost, I thought my performance left a lot to be desired, could have been included with specifics. But anyway, back to the quarterbacks, and man, it's becoming more and more clear that Justin Fields is going to play even if Russell is healthy. And what if he plays really well again in Dallas? It's almost not a question. Let's take a call or two on that. Shall we, Limitless Wonder?
Let's start with Anthony in Oakland.
Hello, Anthony.
Well, Joe, he's been talking about a quarterback with mobility since 2021.
Yeah.
When Ben was still here. Does anyone actually think he's going to allow Justin Fields to go flying out of Pittsburgh? No. He's not only the quarterback of now, he's the quarterback for their future. He just hasn't said it yet because I guess he wants to keep acrimony. He wants to keep things in-house with the rest and not get, you know, you've seen players walk out at the, in the middle of seasons. But at this point, it's time to trade Russ if he's healthy. Miami, listen, Tyreek Hill was begging their coach, find me a quarterback and go deep. What do we know what Russ can still do?
I don't know. What do we know Russ can still
throw
do?
Throw deep.
Well, we'll see. I'd rather have the Dolphins go into tank mode and put Tyreek Hill and Waddle on the trade block. Then forget about Russell Wilson. Then I'd love the Steelers to go in and try and make a deal for one of those two guys before the trade deadline. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in Miami. That's an interesting case, both whether they would want to bring in a veteran quarterback and try and salvage the season, or whether they would look at Tua's situation, their own team situation, and say, let's tank for a quarterback because, man, you watched them last night. They look like a prime tanking prospect, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They look like they're going to mail it in soon. That's why I threw Russ out there because he still can go deep. But look, Justin's your quarterback. You can clean up his actions with the snaps. Those things can be cleaned up. But you know, I thought Tomlin took accountability Sunday. You know, early in that news conference, he said they didn't coach well, they didn't play well, they didn't. But you know, it's up to the reporters to bring that up. They should have brought it up at this conference. How about your coaching?
Sure. They could do that. Yes. How about your coaching? Thank you, Anthony. I just thought there were very specific instances that Tomlin really should answer to from that game. One of which is, what's up with you against Steichen when you're calling defenses, he's calling offenses, and he's rolling up 92 points and 1,131 yards with Gardner Minshew, Anthony Richardson, Joe Flacco. And then Jalen Hurts was very good that season. That's for sure. That was a really good Eagles team, no doubt, that he was running the offense for. What was that, 3 years ago? A lot here. Limits, 412-928-9370. I don't think you have to be a linguist or, you know, some sort of reader of tea leaves to see that Justin Fields is moving closer and closer to being the Steelers quarterback, which means your quarterback, for now and perhaps for a long, long time. I'm not sure Russell Wilson ever starts a game for the Steelers unless there's injury. I'm not sure he does. I'd say the percent chance right now, I feel like that Russell Wilson starts a game here, if Fields is healthy, is down to about 20%. You?
I was thinking 25.
I mean,
but you're talking about,
that's not much different.
No,
it's 20 to 25.
But it's gone from being a flip of a quarter. You know, it's gone from a 50-50 chance, which a lot of people thought a couple weeks ago.
There's always the chance Fields has a horrible game, and then we have a very different topic next week. But I don't think he's trending in that direction. He looks like a very confident player to me right now. You?
He looks like somebody that's finally comfortable in a situation. Like the situation that he was in Chicago with all the turnovers, not a lot of good offensive weapons. And I'm not saying that the Steelers have great offensive weapons and wide receivers, at least. But no, he looks like a guy that is playing in a better scheme and a better system and is confident in himself where he's out on the roll making moves.
How
making
confident
plays.
Are you in Justin Fields?
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.